Welcome to the Better Business, Better Life podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Wilkinson. Today is a follow-up episode from the one we did a couple of weeks ago around COVID and I guess the restrictions that are in place and how do a business operate under those. But with this episode, we want to really look forward and go, well, how do you thrive as a business? And a couple of things we discuss is how do we operate when we've got uncertainty of the conditions we're going to be operating under, but also how do we embrace some of the changes that has now happened for consumers and habits that have changed because of the world we've been operating under the last 18 months. Joining me today is Ethan Harricks, who's our business partner in Dunedin. Ethan's got a great mixture of chartered accountant experience, but also worked in the commercial space and worked with business owners on business models and worked in the travel industry when COVID first hit. So it's been really at the coalface of decision-making for business owners and assisting them with that. And we also got back at Dave Jaggs, who's our business partner in Tauranga, who was on the last episode. Dave's an ex-business owner himself, owned a fitness business, and again, talks a little bit about using that experience today. Hope you enjoy. As always, put a review wherever you're listening to this podcast, and also make sure you subscribe. We are trying to get back into a regular rhythm of every couple of weeks we'll be putting an episode up, so make sure you subscribe so you never miss out. Hope you enjoy today's podcast. Dave and Ethan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, g'day. G'day both.
Great to have you both here today. Today's discussion is a little bit of a segue, you know, it's a bit of an add-on to what, you know, Dave was on last week and Lauren discussing the new level two restrictions. And I guess what we wanted to do today is look a little bit more, you could argue, medium to long-term for businesses on in this COVID world of changing habits and also potential restrictions that can come in and change quite drastically. How do businesses thrive? How do businesses adapt? So I think we've got a number of talking points we'll go through today, but I thought maybe we'll just get a sense of, you know, Ethan and Dave, you're speaking to clients all the time, is just maybe get a bit of an update on the mood of the nation. This is first day for us in Auckland at level three, and I very much enjoyed my coffee this morning after 5 weeks. As Ethan said, that's a long time between drinks, literally. Like Ethan, for you, based in Dunedin, what's been, you know, and obviously these changes with level two, and obviously we've now gone up to 100, for example, for events and hospo, which is a big change. But yeah, what's been the mood of businesses down in the deep south?
Well, it very much depends on what business you have, and perhaps also what your mindset is, if you know what I mean. There's certainly not an overall overwhelming feel in any particular way, but obviously those in the hospitality industry have perhaps had to react the most, whether that's by changing their current business model or their current offerings, whereas some of them in the trade sectors, although they might have had to have a couple weeks off the tools, that gave them an opportunity to catch up on book work. And then as soon as they were down to level three and two down here, it was sort of all go again.
Well, that's almost the thing though, isn't it? It's so like indiscriminative as to what businesses it like really affects and what businesses are just business as usual with a bit of extra cleanliness. Probably argue that some of those businesses need that extra cleanliness anyway. but I from what I've been getting, I think since last week when I spoke to you, Stu, there's definitely been a shift from we're in a pandemic towards it kind of feels like we're getting into the final stages of it, which I think as an expat is reasonably exciting because hopefully that means that hopefully down the line that the borders are going to open. But at the same time, I think that's probably going to present a whole lot of more issues for businesses because maybe we're not going to pursue elimination as hard and we're going to kind of be chasing it. Which could actually mean that, it's going to be more of those restrictions just on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And I think, look, I think for today's discussion, I think, you know, we talked about this before we came on, is there's the one part is how do I adapt to alert level changes and pandemic-related issues, we could call it. And that could be, whether it's restrictions on numbers and all how you make that work. But I think that there's a bigger conversation, I think, around business models and what business owners should be thinking around, in the sense of people's habits are probably changed now for good in certain ways that they will deal with companies, you know, and yep. whether that's, you know, we've all talked about shift online. That's nothing new in the sense of, say, e-commerce, but there is no doubt that has been severely fast-tracked. I guess, is there any, I guess, examples you guys have seen of businesses that, you know, we deal with that have really embraced that or started to see that trend really come through?
We've got quite a unique one here in Tauranga, which I think they were definitely around, kind of came around after the first lockdown, but it was actually, it's a place called Canary Breakfast. And I'm sure if you ask anyone who lives in Papamoa, they'll tell you about it, but it's literally a container. So it's drive-through coffee, but they do this like gourmet bacon and egg kind of wrap as well. But the whole concept is $9. It's pretty cheap. You can drive through, get it. You pay away with your card. You don't really stop or talk to anyone. They pretty much have one kind of offering. But that place is gangbusters. And imagine at level 3 with all the coffee shops struggling to get people in and out of doors. You don't even have to get out of your car. So if you want something and you're nervous, it's a pretty good offering. I think you've just got to start thinking outside the square moving forward. From a past business owner, it's time to spot your market and give it a go.
Yeah, I feel like it might not necessarily be a fair way to sort of tar everyone with the same brush, possibly, but perhaps at least initially there was a big sense of I just want to wait for it to come back to normal, you know, and there's the sense of it'll come back to normal. And Jacinda Ardern is responsible for that, essentially, you know, and they kind of pointed a common, I guess, a common interest, or I wouldn't say enemy, but a common interest of, who's kind of controlling that, rather than being like, well, that normal is probably never coming back, or maybe it's not, maybe it's coming different, which means let's create a new normal for our business.
Yeah.
Definitely. Whatever that might be, and you know, being more reactive and proactive, more on the proactive side than the reactive, I should say.
Well, I think if you're being proactive, you're going to be able to get growth out of this time. Whereas if you're waiting for normal to return, you will probably end up slowly like dropping trade and, you know, or, you know, kind of treading water. Whereas I think there's probably some real good growth opportunities right now.
Yep. And I think, look, that's a really good point, Ethan, of embracing this aspect of what's happening, because I think the level alert levels and decisions on restrictions is purely the government, and you can't control that. You can just make sure you're prepared for what do I do in this situation and what do I do in this these kind of situations, whatever that might be. But you're right that I think, and it doesn't matter where you're in the country, and look, different industries are going through more change. Like we talked about, you know, Ethan, you talked about some of the tradies just getting back on the tools. That's an industry that's going to be, is pretty hard to disrupt in its current mold, because it's about people going on site, you know, using their skills, using their craft to actually create something, which you can't, you know. Whereas, you know, the way that people maybe communicate and want to deal with you as a builder is not necessarily maybe coming up, cool, rock around and have a look at the site, like how can I do that more in a virtual world or deal more digitally, maybe something. So it doesn't matter what industry you're in, I think there is change that people are wanting to see. I know, Dave, you talked a lot about it in the previous podcast, but also people are going to be a bit more there'll be a percentage of the population which will be more cautious about how they want to deal with things. So if you're a trader, you're going to have to show, hey, how can I show to my customers the protocols that I'll take to make sure they're safe when I'm in their house, you know, which is at the moment is our fortress, you know, it is different things.
Yeah. Being super proactive with that, like advertising that you're taking that approach and, you know, making a thing of it will open up that audience of people who are, you know, genuinely nervous and cautious about it.
So Ethan, we talked about, you know, business models, and I know you got plenty of experience through the first pandemic of having to review business models and that sort of stuff. Yeah. But, you know, and it's easier said than done. And, you know, there's been plenty of the buzzwords about pivoting your business and all that sort of stuff. But like before we came online here, you made a point that you've got to, and I know we're accountants, so we kind of say financials are important because it's kind of our bread and butter. But just talk through what, why is this important? And not just it's important anyway, but like, especially when looking at different models for your business, different distribution channels, why is it so important?
Well, I think that if you don't have your financials under control or tidy, up to date, or you don't understand them fully, you're going to be flying a little bit blind when it comes to making any new decisions. And you'll sort of be forced in many respects to have that reactive approach and just wait for your market to come back to you, because that's the only thing you know. But if you can keep everything as up to date as possible, and you can be involved as much as you can understand everything that's going on, then you can demonstrate from a financial perspective how different decisions will impact your business moving forward easily, quickly, understandably. You won't have to rely on someone else starting from scratch and coming and trying to help you to do that. You can do it on the go, real time, so to speak, because there's going to be a lot of opportunities or times where the opportunity might not be there for forever. Someone else might jump in and do that. They'll see a niche.
Yep.
They'll fill it. So just being able to think on your feet.
I also think if you like, you are going to, I don't know, maybe you're going to try and push for some more funding from a loan from the bank, or you're actually in a bit of a hole and you need some support from the bank. The first thing they're going to be saying is, show us your finances. What have you done to try and safeguard yourself since the last lockdown? And they're going to want to know that everything's kind of in check.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you've got to have a strong basis and understanding of where you're at and what you're doing.
Yeah, and even with the whole decrease, has your revenue, has your capital raising ability decreased by 30-40% on a comparable period? Just even those questions, to be able to answer them quickly means you can access the government support quickly, and there's no issues or there's no anxiety around that for you.
Yeah, and I think linked to this, everyone talks about what's the strategy for the business, what's the plan for the business, but in a simple way for many owners, I think, need to think about strategy is that strategy is where you focus your investment and time to get the best return, and that may be short term to long term. It does not necessarily just instant gain. But so if you are going to look at your strategy about, hey, where am I going to invest my capital, my focus as a business owner, my resourcing and staff, you've got to understand, well, what's the payoff from that? And whether that's an improvement in margin, it could be an improvement in growth, or it could be reduction in cost or something. But strategy is about focus. It is where you're going to focus your time. And I think, like you said there, Dave, with that example in Papamoa in Tauranga there, their model is, as you said, it's $9, pretty cheap, but they've obviously focused their model about a volume game because they've got people probably driving through. They've geared their focus and their strategy to get a really efficient service, slimline.
Yeah, they're making menu. Use of a bar car park, which is just not busy.
Cheaper lease.
The day.
So it's a cheaper lease probably than a fancy cafe, less investment because it's just a container than a flash fit out. It's about where you focus your investment for a model. And I think I was reading, we kind of circulated a few articles amongst us three before this podcast, and one of the ones I've and we'll put all these articles in the show notes, but one of them was an article from Harvard Business Review, and I think that they talked about when you look at your business model in a really easy way, and what they said was, to figure out what your business model for the new normal requires, you need to ask the basic question about how you create and deliver value, who you partner with, and who your customers will be. And I think that is, we can look at all this, high level stuff and detail stuff, but it is, who is your customer now, and how are you going to deliver value? And that may have changed. I think the cafe example in Papa is a really good example.
Yeah.
It is, a real different way of doing it, but it's the same value, and the end client's going to do that. So I think to your point though, Ethan, you've got to understand your numbers to go, well, what is my investment? What will my effects be by moving or focusing a bit more on this area than this area in my business, or completely moving it? What are my margins going to be? What do I need them to be? There's a whole lot of working out there to make these things happen.
But there's also some really exciting opportunities. That's like, this isn't the greatest of situations, but at the same time, I think there's some amazing opportunities to be had to be had out there if, you know, you're prepared to be proactive. Yeah, it's times that you can kind of, you know, what's the saying, that the cream rises to the top?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of it's kind of the whole notion of investing or investment. That they talk about the investment cycle, so to speak. You know, you've got your ups and downs, and you know, your peaks and your troughs, and your upswings and your downturns. And I think everyone kind of understands the notion of we want to jump onto an investment when it's on its upswing. You know, want to buy low, sell high. Well, COVID can be viewed as a, where COVID lockdown could possibly be viewed in a similar vein, whereas maybe your market or your perceived market is in a trough or possibly there's an upswing coming. That's the time to sort of take a calculated risk, measurable calculated risk. And some of those success stories that you do hear, and ones you've just talked about, Dave, as well, are people that have sort of done that, you know.
Yeah,
there's always that small chance where you could get into that and it didn't work. You thought there was a market there, you thought that would be reacted to well, even though you advertised and planned, didn't actually work. Okay, but as long as that wasn't throwing the kitchen sink at it and that wasn't a all or nothing approach,
throwing a Hail Mary.
Yeah, because worst case scenario, you get some advertising out of that you could bring into your other business.
Realistically, you know, the successful people are the people who've failed more times than they've succeeded. Mm, you know, they've taken the shots, but they've known when to stop and go, nah, too deep. Or they've gone, nah, actually, I'm still solvent. I can double down a bit further. And then maybe that's when it pays off. You know, like that business kind of review we had the other day, Stu, with our Nature's Fridge. Mm, what an amazing product. That was a little bit further in its life cycle right now, having those things rolled out everywhere at level 3. You know, they're a real cool. Do you know who Nature's Fridge is, Ethan?
No, feel free to elaborate.
So they kind of do this, for want of a better word, healthy vending machine, but it's like stocked up with like, you know, fresh salads, mueslis, all sorts of different meal options, but it gets stocked every morning. So it's almost like a cafe again, but without a lease. And it's just like a vending machine style. So you go up, you order, you pay, and it kind of gets kicked out. So imagine kind of having a cafe at the end of your street that you could go hit up, but you didn't actually deal with anyone. So at level 3, it would be awesome. Not only would Stu have been able to get a coffee this morning, but he'd have been able to get his Birch and Muesli or something like that for lunch.
Yeah, things that you can't always access unless you go to a cafe.
Yeah, you know, and it's prepared by chefs. It's kind of had all of that side to it, done to it. It's the kind of thing that you would like to think you can make at home, but probably can't if you've got my skills in the kitchen anyway.
Yeah, and I think with both those examples you used, Dave, there of Nature's Fridge and also that cafe in Papamoa, the product's not really changing. It's how it's distributed is the real change there, or the method of delivering it to customer and the value that the customer sees in that. I think just touching on your point, Ethan, about that risk, I think what people need to ask themselves is, what is the risk of me standing still? What is the risk of me carrying on in the market or the way I distribute my product, maybe a better question. What could happen? What are my competitors doing? What are the trends? Because I'll never forget, and this was 3 years ago, I was in the Mount, and it was just as Uber went to the Mount. Like it'd been there 2 months or something like that. And so we, you know, book an Uber, and I know I couldn't get an Uber, but so we got this taxi driver, and we started talking with this taxi driver, and he was like, look, you know, Uber's just arrived, but you know, it's not gonna be around long. Tarong is very different. And I'm kind of in my head going, yeah, Tarong is different to the rest of the world, mate. And I'm like, I know that's a very simplistic example. But hindsight now, we're 3 years later going, what an idiot, Uber is everywhere. And you know, the beauty of the convenience of Uber, I know who's driving, all the other stuff. But like, that is the risk of standing still, and it might not mean you have to change straight away, but to your point, Ethan, if you're informed, you may go, hey, when my business might reach this mark, I might start and go down this path or whatever. But as long as you're informed, you can make decisions. The worst thing you want to be able to do, or worst thing you want to be able have to do, is make that change under pressure, because the business is making decline. But more importantly, at that point, your chances of raising capital to make that shift are also probably less than they are now. So it's not necessarily you have to make the change now, but I think to your point, even be informed, talk about different options, look at what the trends are in the market. And I, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in New Zealand. You can be in Invercargill, but we are a global country, we're a global world, and you know, we are dominated by big players in technology, and the trends they put out are governed what we're doing. That's a bit of a rant.
Well, you should be able to like run the numbers fairly easily on lots of different projects to work out which ones are kind of viable, which ones are not, but also like how far to push them. Do you know what I mean? You might only want to, I don't know, have one Nature's Fridge vending machine, because having two actually means that you need to increase far more staff or so on and so forth. It's like you've got to actually run that. But also, I think New Zealand is about to enter a really interesting time, because we've got to learn to live with COVID, and that's something we've never had to do.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world is, what, 18 months further along?
Yeah.
We've had a far better run up till now, but those guys are all like, you know, they're going from high deaths down to low deaths, so that seems as a win. At some point, we have to let COVID in, and there's probably going to be some more people die of it, which is going to be really sad, but we've, you know, it's going to seem like a really big, scary move.
And I think, and I think to that, Dave, also businesses overseas, and a number of the articles I shared with the crew were from the UK, they've know that they ain't going away. So they're over completely adapt their business so they can be either contactless or different delivery models. And I think to your point, Ethan, if you think the world's starting, it may be certain industries are going to move faster than others. I get that part, but to not have that conversation and think, well, what is the next 2 years in technology trends, how my clients might want to deal with me, is a little, I'll be set, naive.
I was chatting to some guys from BNZ yesterday, and then probably not going to be back in the office till level one.
Yep.
And I'm going to be really intrigued as to when we get to level one and what level one's going to look like, because level two's changed. So does that mean that the CBDs are generally going to be a lot quieter? So do you need to look at servicing your audience in a slightly different way? Was it like, I think New Zealand had a 47% increase in the use of social media during lockdown and a 57% increase in the use of streaming services. And that's not Netflix, that's how-to videos, like online classes and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you do have to, you got to address it, but also don't address it from a fear point of view, address it because actually it's an awesome opportunity. Instead of being able to service your local market, you can now service New Zealand nationwide. If you're in those kind of streaming type things.
And that's a good segue, Dave, onto, you know, what should businesses maybe think about doing differently in this current environment? You know, Ethan, you started to talk a little bit about business model, but Dave, and I know you talked about, you know, what you did as a gym owner and a fitness business owner in the previous lockdown and moving online and actually how you grew. But, you know, talking about that social, why is social media, and I'll call it also communications, now vital for businesses to think about?
I think there's people are generally online more, whether it's because they're working from home, they're locked at home if they live in Auckland or so on and so forth. But you've got to get through the clutter of everyone else who's on there as well. So a lot of people, I think, went, oh no, we're into lockdown, tighten the purse strings, when actually probably the right attitude was, I'm doubling down if you can afford it and doubling your social media presence. To draw more people in, because like if you have kind of leveraged or pivoted or any of those things and set yourself up in an online world, you know, you can be servicing New Zealand nationwide, which is pretty exciting, really. We had like people training with us from Queenstown, and we're based in Tauranga, and we don't have any members in Queenstown, I can assure you of that, but it was kind of like friends of people we already had heard what we were doing and just asked if they could jump in. So I think if I was still in that industry, I would 100% be developing like a more professional online kind of platform. You know, we made use of what we had at the time because we kind of had to do it nice and fast. But, you know, there's definitely options now to really deliver on that.
And there was a similar thing with the likes of Les Mills On Demand. And that sort of thing. All of a sudden, you were getting all these. I remember seeing on social media all these ads about our gyms are closed in these areas by because of this lockdown level and that alert level and that sort of thing. But don't worry, we've got all these online workouts that you can do, which I did a few of them, and they're actually, apart from the fact you're not surrounded by people, the experience is still somewhat there. And yeah, if it's not as, even if it's actually not as good, it's marketed as though it is as good, and so it's going to get you to try it. And damn near all of them had, you know, free 1 or 2 week trials to sort of.
But the audience is like, you know, if say you've got a Les Mills gym in Auckland, how many people are they open to? So then that one, say gym, say it's not Les Mills, let's go with a totally like standalone gym. They've suddenly been able to go nationwide. So they can service like a very small percentage of the market, probably at a cheaper price, and still have a bigger turnover if they kind of manage to like portion off their section.
And I think this is the point, and I think Ethan, you talked about it earlier, is because your market now is through technology, and the technology is affordable for businesses to get into as well. Yep. I think it's a big point to make. And a lot of customized stuff for particular industries is you can then also focus on a real niche that you are super passionate about. Because let's use a gym. As a gym, I've got to be, to a degree, general, because I've got to be within this geographical area. That's what's hindering me. Same with cafes, whatever. I've got this geographical area. But if I'm now able to deliver a product or service nationally, I can really focus up, because I've gone from a small population demographic to 5.5 million, yep, 5 million people. So, you know, you can really focus and do a really good job there. But I think what you said, Ethan, and we talked about it, I raised the Apple Fitness model, is this is where I think, you know, you talk about that local service aspect, and we all talk about, you know, supporting small business at the moment, which is fantastic. But you cannot ignore that big players with just budgets, you know, the biggest company in the world just goes, I want to get in that, and it affects you. And I think that's where I think you've really got to think differently, but also then play on how can I, as a New Zealand company, compete with Apple Fitness? How can I compete and be
people
different,
like, you know? Niche though, like, so exactly. You logged into Les Mills, but how many times in those videos did they say, Ethan, are you doing this right, and target you? Do you know what I mean? So like when we did our classes online, it's like we still had a role, and they had to punch in like how many burpees or whatever they did. So it's like, it's, you can still make it interactive. And you know, I think you can roll that across lots of different things. It's like people still want to feel loved. They want to feel kind of like, you know, nurtured and all of that side of things. And you won't get that with something like Les Mills. But as a small provider, you can still provide, you know, that attention to detail and that care for your customers.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, you can still nobble your audience nationwide, even against when you've got these major players coming in. It's like, do you want to be one of 1,000 or do you want to be one of 100 where they know your name and they know what your needs are?
Yeah. And I think two examples I saw, because I think there's a plenty of industries will go, oh, how does that work for me? And two I thought were really cool. First one was one from the UK, and it was a wine business, and they had a store, you know, and you go in and you have a chat with a guy and he know lots about wine and recommend. So what they would do is they'd send out like a wine to you, and then they'll do virtual wine tasting. So you'd log on a Zoom call, but you still got interaction, you still got that knowledge, still real personal service to you. What you said, Dave, it's not just, hey, I'm buying a bottle of wine online, which you can buy anywhere. I'm still dealing with my local business who really knows me. So it's kind of that example. The other one I've seen is Hallertau, which is a quite well-known brewery up here. They sent an email yesterday saying, hey, you know, they've done like recipe kits and all this sort of stuff, you know, and beer matching, which they can send to you. Like, it's just, again, it's not changing necessarily your product. It's just how you distribute it and think about it differently. For me, there's certain industries, you know, the one industry they say is a bit Amazon proof is, say, the building construction industry, because it's all heavy stuff that you can't transport. But apart from that, it is just thinking differently how you deal with your market and interact and inform, and social media can help communicate that, I guess.
Yeah,
it's iteration, small iterations rather than reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, and you've got like these kind of ones that can really do it big, but then you've got like your allied health, so your chiros, your osteos, your physios. They can't afford to sit still either.
Yeah.
You know, you can do telehealth appointments, you can do online stuff, and where it's not appropriate, you still bring them in. But set yourself up to meet your audience's needs. So whether it's when you have a one in, one out, and they kind of work their way through, we don't have a waiting room anymore, you text them when it's time to come in. we're about to enter a really new phase. And I think the people that adapt and evolve and go for it are going to go really good. And the people who go, nah, I'm just going to wait till it's normal, I think they're going to get left behind.
Yeah.
Is my gut instinct.
You've got to be prepared to adopt new technologies, new thoughts, be open.
Totally.
Yeah, be very flexible.
Dare I say it? Once you kind of get past the initial fear, it's quite an exciting time to be in business, because if you consider yourself to be entrepreneurial and that side of things, it's a time to stand out. You know? It's a time to like really show your worth, isn't it? And, you know, as say a manager or someone like that, it's a time to stand up for those guys and kind of show your leadership qualities as well. And I think if you kind of get them through something like this, they'll be employees for life, because they'll remember that you kind of made it happen and you stood by them during times like this.
And I think those entrepreneurial adaptive staff are really going to be important, not just a business owner.
If
you've got any support, and whether that's an employee or a family member or something that, you know, wants to help and is growth mindset rather than come on boss, what are you going to do for us, you know what I mean?
Totally.
You can nurture them and let them be heard, you know.
And they're gonna go to the well for you if you're trying. Do you know what I mean? If they see you just stood still and then you say, oh, actually, we're going to have to take pay cuts or we're going to make someone redundant, but you haven't done anything, probably doesn't bode well for your staff culture, does it?
Correct. And I think it was another podcast we did 6 months ago about e-commerce, and they talked, and Hugo, who was on that, he's kind of a Shopify expert, talked about it, is, you know, he says, just because your business operates, and this was obviously in retail in one format, i.e. the brick and mortar stores, he says, doesn't mean that's the only skills your staff have. You know, behind the scenes, they might be passionate about graphic design, or they might be passionate about social media. So by involving your team, you may actually unveil a bunch of skills that you go, actually, I didn't realize that, but that's exactly what I need to take me on the journey. And as he said, those people, they know your business, they know your product, they know your clients. So you kind of got the hard work done. But he said, including your team in any change is really important, because they live and breathe your product probably as much as you do most of the time. They deal with your customers probably sometimes more than you do. So chat to them and engage them with that process. Get feedback from your customers. And like, just the more feedback, and it's kind of to your point, Ethan, about in financials, it's the same with customers. But, you know, the more informed you are, the better chance you're going to get this right.
Well, you kind of think about like all the things that have probably changed that we haven't even really thought about. It's like, I think after the last lockdown, or during the last lockdown, the first one, I should say, I got a coffee subscription.
Yep.
I'm still on the same coffee subscription. I just move it up or down slightly. Do you know what I mean? I'd never done a coffee subscription before that point, and I haven't turned it off just because we went back to being COVID free. So, you know, and why would I go and buy coffee when I can just have a subscription sorted out that arrives at my door every Monday?
Convenience.
Yeah, there's things like that. It's like you almost take stuff like that for granted, but they've, to a certain degree, changed the game, haven't they?
Well, and for me, my personal one is we never did any of the, you know, supermarket shopping online before the last lockdown, and every Friday, the weekly shop turns up. And I'm like, well, why? And I remember when I went for a supermarket, I go to the supermarket now. Well, I have to a bit more in lockdown because the online's coming cut down. But it's just once you get the habit, and I think that's the thing, once the habits change for people, they won't turn back. So if you're left in the dust of that, you're not going to get it back, because they don't want to go back that way. Like, why do I want to travel down to a supermarket, wander around aisles, struggle to find something, get annoyed when it just turns up and I unpack it?
So probably what's happened, isn't it, is like COVID has forced, like, there was probably a lot of online stuff happening, and people who are like early adopters had already gone to the online way of things, but COVID has probably forced the masses through that gap, and now we're just kind of stuck with those stragglers, I guess, who, dare I say it, may get left behind if they don't jump into the online world.
Correct. All right, guys. Final thoughts or words of advice to wrap up, like takeaways, we'll do it. So Ethan, we'll start with you. What's your takeaways for business owners listening to this podcast?
Well, one takeaway that I would like to sort of just touch on before we go is if for whatever reason your business is operating under reduced hours, or you're actually using less time as selling the product, being customer facing, open for business, so to speak, use the extra time to either do some research into new things you could do, into understanding the financials, or even just put that into your own personal mental health. Don't shut up shop just because the shop's not open. Your time is still the most important thing.
Yep, great advice, Ethan. Really good advice. Dave?
I think mine is probably more around, like, it's the old classic of your success board should be way smaller than your fails board. So, like, I'm not saying try it and ruin your business in the process of failing, but come up with heaps of ideas, run the numbers, see what works, get it down to a select few, and then start giving it a go. Like, you will fail in the process of finding the new route to success. And it's not being afraid of that. That's actually just part of the process.
Yeah. And for me, my final one, my final sort of takeaway, embrace technology. Whether your business, like say it's construction, your business model's not changing massively, but it's also an efficiency it can give you as business owners. It reduces potential cost. And for some businesses, you know, when you've done certain things a certain way for a long time, it is very intimidating. And we're looking through some technology change at the moment for our business, and it is hard. Don't get me wrong, data and stuff is hard. But if you don't, to Ethan's point, you know, use this technology to then because they better help you better understand your numbers, better understand your customers, all those insights that can help gain you. But it gives you often also greater flexibility for distribution channels for your clients and how to deal with them and how to communicate. You know, the ability to actually communicate and send a nice simple email out to your actual customer base because you've got all their email address, you can personalize it with first names, like super important. Like the amount of rubbish emails I got about, oh, we're now in level two in these, but to dear customer, goodness me. And these are big companies.
No, like dear, big companies. Dear brackets, client name is now isn't it?
I was watching I think it was One News on Sunday. And they were interviewing someone. It was her name, and then it said, "Insert title here." And you're like, "Someone's had a little boo boo there." But you know, like to your point, Dave, you know, people, you know, have an expectation that that you should know your customer, and they, you know, as a business. So to send a just dear that no first name, no personalization to like, but if you can't even do that, you're in problems. You know, really think it through. And there's some small companies that I've bought through, I don't know, whatever, who are really good at it. And industries you don't think, but they're really tailored. They can send really informed stuff, keep customers up to date with what they're doing. And you're like, awesome. But if you can't do that, you're in problems.
Yeah. So, I think
Your own name, isn't it? Nothing's sweeter than the sound of your name, apparently.
Yeah. So, okay, awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your time. And we'll speak to everyone soon.
Cool. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.